Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Scientists are able to study the stars. And I don't know about you, but that impresses me. It's not like you can take a star and bring it into a laboratory and put it under a microscope. They study stars from far off. And what they have discovered is that part of what makes a star shine is this wild combination of heat and gases and gravity and pressures, and it all sort of goes together and bursts into this light that oftentimes can be seen by us. Now, I am not a scientist, and I will admit that to you. I'm an observer. And I have observed some things over the years about stars. One of the things I've observed is that many of us who live in developed nations have no idea how many stars there actually are and what they look like when they're all together up there in the atmosphere. The reason for that is that we have so much extra light. We have light from buildings and street lamps and all kinds of things that diminish some of the light that the stars give off. Some of us have spent time in the country, and even in the country, I don't know about you, but I grew up on a farm for part of my life, and even in the country where there was much less light, there weren't many times when I stood outside in the middle of the night and simply gazed up. I was outside at night, obviously, but didn't spend a lot of time looking at the stars. 15 years ago, I ended up doing a vision fast in the wilderness. I was alone with thousands of acres of land surrounding me, no light coming from anywhere, and barely any moon at all. I was also afraid to go to sleep. And so I was on a tarp in a sleeping bag with nothing over me, and with my eyes wide open, because of course I wasn't exactly sure which animals might choose to visit me in the night. So I had nothing to do but look at the sky. And I literally watched from the time the sun went behind the mountains to when the sun started to rise again the next morning. And I've never seen anything like it in my life. I had no idea what stars were like in that sense. There were times when I was looking up and I couldn't tell where the sky was. That's how many stars were shining their lights that night and for the next several nights. I also had no idea how much they move. Stars move. They're not just there. It was one of the most spectacular shows I've ever seen. And I've done a lot of thinking about stars since then. And the other things I have observed are these. One is, even when we cannot see the stars because of all the extra light, they're still shining. Even when we can't see the stars because of the clouds or some kind of storm or something else, or in some cases pollution, the stars are still shining. Regardless of what we are able to observe, the light they give off is constant. A star never stops shining until it no longer exists. Well, people are a little bit different than stars, and people are a lot harder to study in some ways. It is difficult with people sometimes to see if there is any light within them. If you do see light within people, it's difficult to tell from where that light is coming. And our stories today, in both Isaiah and Matthew, are stories about stars and people combined. And I think there's something we can learn from them. In both of these stories, the story that we read in Isaiah, people had come back, Jerusalem was a mess, the prophet preached this great thing about how there was actually hope. The light had come. In Matthew, the star had arisen. They were following the star to where the baby had been born. The thing that is the same in both of these texts is this idea that in the midst of chaos, in the midst of terrible times, in the midst of people who had given up hope, there was this message that light had come and there was hope. So that's something that's similar in each of these stories. What's confusing is the rest of it all. Like, what does that mean that the prophet was speaking to a city, that one day the city would be this great thing? And what does it mean that the wise people traveled and saw Jesus in a manger? What does any of that mean? There's a missing piece for us that I think once we get is the missing puzzle piece. And here's what it is. When the Bible talks about the glory of God, so in Isaiah, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, the word glory means presence. And the same is true in the Matthew text. The light that was shining that they followed had to do with the actual presence of God on the earth. So the light that is talked about in Isaiah and in Matthew has to do with the presence of God. That's critical for us, especially on Epiphany Sunday and as we enter the season of Epiphany. Epiphany is a season in which we really look hard at how it is that we become light for the world. And for a church like ours that is absolutely committed to being the light in the world, we often get stopped with social justice. We believe strongly that part of how we are the light in the world is by engaging in social justice. We are trying to make the world a better place. We want peace on the earth. We want all people to be equal and to be treated equally. And so sometimes we stop there. We think that by doing good in the world, that is how we are the light to the world. And that is a part of it. And that is an important part of it, which is why we value it so deeply. There's something more, though. Because you and I both know, from people that we have known, organizations that we've been a part of, and things that we have seen, that if it is only about doing good in the world, we will burn out. If the light we have is the light of a good work, eventually that light will burn out. Even when we share it with others, that light will burn out eventually. So what we are looking at today is a different part of that light. Social justice is the way that we carry that light into the world, but it still begs the question, well, then what is the light? And the light is the presence of God. Now, I want to share with you a story to try to illustrate this. I was very young, probably 4 or 5, the first time I remember crying myself to sleep. And it happened many times when I was young. And what my tears were about was that I felt completely alone in the universe. Now, I lived in a family. I was part of a family. I had 5 siblings and parents. But I felt completely alone. So for years, I cried myself to sleep when I would think about the universe and me in it. When I was 9, I went to church for the first time. I heard about God for the first time. I went to Sunday school. I went to summer camp. And what I heard in those places was that I was not alone, that I would never be alone, that God was real, and that God lives in me. Obviously, it was something that I had been searching for. And when I heard it, it went into me in a way that was as deep as anything inside of me. And so as I have lived my life, my theology has changed. Woo! I've learned different things. I'm a different person in many ways than I was a lot of years ago. I haven't had a cakewalk, as we refer to it sometimes. I'm not sure anybody has. And here's the difference. When I have been in situations where it felt like the ground was shifting, the floor was going to disappear beneath me, the chaos was all around me, the way forward was not clear, not even a step. In all of those times, in tremendous grief, in tremendous confusion, in all of those times, the constant was the presence of God in me. This is critical. This is what we have to share with the world. We sometimes doubt ourselves because we think, oh, we don't know how to say it, or, you know, we're not really the best spokesperson, or, you know, we come up with all these different excuses of why it is that we have a hard time reaching out to other people. All you need is to know the presence of God in you, and that's what you have to share. And part of why we gather in community is because there are times when we can't see it in ourselves. There are times that even when we know it so deeply, it helps to see it in another person. It helps to be with other people who have the same light. It manifests in many different ways, doesn't it? So I want to encourage you, many of you are so good at taking the light out of here and passing it on, kind of like what we do on Christmas Eve. We have candles, and as soon as our candle is lit, we turn to somebody else and we light their candle. And then they turn to somebody else and they light the candle. And we see the light just go around. And then the whole place is lit. We know how to do that. We know how to turn to someone and share what we have. And so as we enter into this new year, as we journey on in the next 5 to 6 weeks in Epiphany and really get into what it means to be light in the world, let's remember that it is the light that is deep within us that will never be extinguished. That's the difference. The light that is in you, the presence of God that is in you, will never be extinguished. You don't see it when you look in the mirror. You see all the things with your hair and a couple new wrinkles and all those things when you look in the mirror. But other people look at you and they see that light. They see that presence of God that is in you, and that will give them hope. You give them hope. The light that is in you gives them hope. That's what we have to share. So I wanted to invite the kids forward to help me with something. I have something to give to you this morning that I want you to keep this year. I want you to take it home, and I want you to put it somewhere. So come on up, kids, all of you that are kids in body or spirit, come on up. So I want every person sitting here this morning to get a star, and I want you guys to hand out the stars, okay? And what we want is for everybody to take these stars home and put them somewhere that will remind them, somewhere that every morning they're going to wake up, they're going to see this star. See this little star? They're all different colors. You're going to look at this star and you are going to remember the presence of God in you that never can be extinguished, that is always with you. So let's hand out all these stars. You guys don't have very many. You need like a whole handful. Right, they're going to pass them. And as they're passing these out, the rest of us can be singing Silent Night.